I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 578. Higgledy? Really?
Higgledy's nuts.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda!
Hey!
How you doing?
I'm doing. I'm alive. I'm well. Life
is good. You breathing and shit.
Breathing and shit. Life goals.
Yeah. Girl,
all is good. All is good in the hood.
I feel you. I feel you. I feel you. You know, I woke up this morning. So, hashtag winning right there. Got coffee in me. Got some delicious breakfast. And you know, I don't be breakfasting like that. But I did and it was good. And I'm just like, let's take on this week. Tomorrow I'll be like, why did I even say that? But right now I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling good. Really good. I'm really excited. You know, there's a lot of things going on. Just really quickly, kind of, you know, the around the way stuff that we talk about, as we often do, the tangent stuff. I'm really pumped about PAX East. You know, it's right around the corner. Guys, if you're listening to this episode, know that we're not doing an episode next week because, well, for a couple of reasons. One, it's Easter, and we are Roman Catholic like that. Two, it's Panda's anniversary.
Yep, a year in the bag. A week
first
from
one.
Today.
One down.
One down, eternity or until I lose my mind to go.
Right, to go. You know, so there's some life stuffs going on.
Oh, man,
so.
And you wait. Because then after that, we've got the PAX East Roundtable. But
yes.
Then the show after that. I'm going to give you all my wedding tips, like how to survive year one of marriage.
Oh, good
I got
Lord.
Em.
Oh,
I got them.
God. You better make them, like, gaming related. It better be, like, world 1-1.
Like, always get your one-ups. Always.
Okay.
Get them all. You'll need them.
Max out on potions. You will need them for
sometimes
every
you
argument
want,
you lose.
I like to complain about min-maxers, but you want a min-max in life.
Yeah.
For all those skirmishes
you're
going to have with your partner because you're going to fight and it's going to get bad.
You got to grind. You got to grind.
So it like,
levels up.
It's
yep.
going to happen.
So if you do it that way, that's fine. I will allow it.
So,
but if not, I'm going to.
But that's what's going on. That's what's going down.
But I'm really excited because as most of you guys know, I am an Xbox MVP. And I have been for a couple of years now, and I really appreciate being part of the program, you know, being recognized for the work that we do here on Esh and talking about gaming and specifically, you know, platforms that allow gamers to connect regardless of things, beliefs, you know, the stuff that seems to be like ripping the world apart.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And so I'm getting ready to go to Summit. Which is a meeting of the MVPs, and it's just really cool to get to meet other people who are as passionate about gaming and the platform as I am and spend some time, you know, really just talking about the community and what's going on. It's cool. And I'm so excited to get to go to Summit. That's happening next week. And so it's just like all kinds of gaming stuff, like, in my face. It's my favorite time of the year, in all honesty, because I just get refreshed and renewed as far as this thing that I love, which is video games and the community. Because I get to be around people who are just as passionate and love it as much as I do. Like, the main reason that this podcast has been going for as long as it has is because you and I love games and anime so much that it's just a joy to talk to each other each week about these things. And some of you guys like to listen to us do that, and that's really cool. It's super fucking cool. But it for me, is kind of, I don't want to say like my pilgrimage and going back to Mecca, but it really does restore my gamer soul to go out to Summit and then to go to PAX East and just be part of the community and see how diverse we are and how creative we are and just get to vibe off each other for a few days and play some games that we love and discover some new games that we didn't even know existed and just have, you know, 3 or 4 days filled with that. It really does restore my gamer soul. So I'm really looking forward to Summit. And then right after that, literally the next week, we've got PAX East. And I'm very excited about that. And it really made me consider, you know, all the shows that are out there, because there's so many now for anime fans and for comic fans and for video game fans, to really start to think about, you know, what shows do I really want to go to? Kind of like my bucket list type thing. And, you know, we've done E3. And we're pretty much done with E3, to be honest.
Yeah.
With the advent of the public being let in for sale, we're not going to qualify as media anymore. We're just too small. And so they're going to require that we purchase tickets. And that's just a real costly thing to fly from the East Coast to the West Coast, get a place for a week, and have to pay admission to get in and not have access to Wi-Fi and to the media room to write. It doesn't really make sense for us to do that anymore. We are going to still continue to cover the media briefings. So we're going to live tweet those as we always have. That's not going to stop. And we will, you know, obviously have our thoughts and put up editorials based off of the announcements that we see, because we're not going to stop following it. But we are not making a conscious effort anymore to do E3. And that made me think, okay, well, then what do I really want to make a conscious effort to go to? Where should Esh be to be, you know, part of an event or trade show and cover that and share that back with the community, and what would really have value to do? And so I looked at a bunch of the stuff that was on there, and we've talked over the years, sis, about, you know, MAGFest and going down to Dragon Con, and there's definitely a lot of interest for me in both of those shows. You know, I would love to go to Otakon. I never went to Otakon when I lived down in that area, which was kind of like, duh, on me. But really, like, my goal, I'm targeting going to GDC next year.
You always be talking about GDC.
Yeah, I just kind of like with the space that I'm in right now as a experienced gamer, because I don't want to say
okay, okay.
Seasoned. I like
that
seasoned.
That means you got, I got flavor.
You said savor. I think it makes sense to go to GDC. And for me in particular, just from what I'm interested in all honesty, I'm past the cosplay period in my life. Like, I enjoy cosplaying, and like every once in a while I'll still do it, but it's not the thing that I go to a con for, and it's not necessarily for me the let me see every game I possibly can and write about every game I possibly can. That's also not where I'm at anymore. I like to talk, as you guys well know, more so than write. And for me, I'm very much in a place where I'm more focused, and I think I'm more sensitive to diversity and representation in games, and more of the motivations behind game creation, character development, story, the kind of secret sauce type of things interest me more. And so GDC makes total sense for me to go to.
I agree. All right.
And so I'm really, really going to try to do GDC next year. I don't know if it's going to happen. It might not. it probably won't. just because of where I am financially this year. But
we've had a lot happen in the fall of the House of Escher, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, serious. Serious. Very nicely done, by the way.
You're welcome.
Did you just come up with that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Gold star for you.
Uh-huh.
That works on like 9 different levels.
I know. I'm in a weird place.
You're on today.
Right now.
You're like on today.
Thanks. Thanks.
It's probably not going to happen next year, but really my focus for the next few years for shows really going to be focused on PAX East and GDC. And, you know, if I get invited to speak anywhere, like a PAX West or South, you know, I'll definitely put in the effort to do that. But I feel like those are kind of my home base for right now. That makes sense for me, for the things that I'm interested in talking about and learning about. And, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit later in the show about some of the things that were going on at this year's GDC that I really wish that I'd been a part of. Like, I don't get FOMO a lot.
But when you get FOMO, though,
it's usually about GDC these last couple of years. So that's where I'm putting the effort. So it's not changing us really drastically. Like I said, we're still going to talk about PAX West, whether we go directly or not. We're still going to talk about E3, obviously, because there's just so many announcements that come out of those media briefings and the show, and it's really going to set up our holiday really well. So that stuff won't change. It's just we're not making the effort to try to go and fight to get in there. It's one of those things, like, we know we're not mega huge, massive outlet.
Right.
We don't have millions of downloads of episodes.
No.
But you guys keep them subscriptions rolling. You keep them websites hits coming. We appreciate you. For loving us, so we're gonna keep doing our thing. From the comfort of our couches.
Yep.
Which, frankly, I'll be honest with you, it's really the best way to watch the Sony briefing. Like, we've been a couple of years, and like,
I've only ever been to one.
Well, you've only ever gone to E3.
Like, twice.
Right. So.
That's true. Like,
I've been to 11 E3s, and I've been to the Sony thing 3 times.
Yeah, but you seem to get
in
far
more
than...
And I had to work real hard to make that happen. So it's kind of nice to, like, not have to do those tap dances, in all honesty. It's refreshing to not think about having to keep emailing and keep emailing and keep emailing and keep emailing and hopefully get somebody who's like, okay, fine, yes. But as nice as that, like, food and drink time before they let everybody in is, like, you only get an hour, and by the time you get through security, you have, like, 20 minutes, and that's not enough time to, like, hit all the food and get all the booze, because you're in line to get booze for, like, 7 to 8 minutes, so you're, like, shoving things in your face before they're like, doors are opening, queue up, and you're like, shit, so you don't even get to, like, really enjoy the food. So, in all honesty, like, sitting on my couch, surrounded by my good booze, with delivery, though, it's a pretty dope way to watch the briefing. So, anyway, that's my long tangent to get into. I'm feeling good about games and the gaming community, and the next 2 weeks are really just gonna kind of blow me into super fanboy, and please deal with it, and I'm just warning you accordingly, so you can act accordingly. But I'm going to be, like, ridiculously happy about games for a few months. So be prepared for corny ninja.
All right, I'm preparing. Mentally. Okay. It will take me that long to get mentally prepared.
Yeah,
for
yeah, because I'm going to be like, oh my god, look, guys, guys, did you see? My feeds are going to be filled with, you know, trailers and shit. Like, it's going to be crazy.
You're right.
Gunner came out with new glasses. I can't wait to get my hands on them.
Oh, God. Here it comes.
Yeah. Be prepared. Like, there's a piece coming. Because they came out with a new set of glasses. And you're actually, Panda, going to love them. You're probably going to want a pair. Because I know I want, like, 3. But
you only have 2 eyes.
I know. But, like, it's not enough. Anyway, so as you guys know, Gunner Optics, they create glasses that help reduce glare from screens, whether that's your TV screen because you're playing games for long periods of time or your computer screen. And, you know, a lot of their frames, I would say, are definitely frames that are aimed at a younger audience. So, you know, more so in the sub-28-year-old category. So very fun, but very young. And then they have what I like to refer to as old reliable, which are their boring, more corporate frames, so to speak. But it's usually, you know, a simple yellow lens with some really great UV protection, you know, to knock out bad, harmful light, especially when you're looking at screens for long periods of time. And I've had a set of Gunners before. We've done a piece on them before, and they really do help for long periods of time. I found them to be very helpful for me when I was working really heavily doing a lot of coding in my previous role, because I was just constantly looking at screens filled with lines and lines of code all day long, and I wear reading glasses, and it was really difficult for me to not go, you know, a day without headaches. And the base Gunners have like a simple, like not even full plus one, which was very close to my prescription at the time. So when I started wearing the Gunner glasses that they gave me as a review unit, it really helped me. Within 3 days of wearing them at work, my daily headaches started to diminish. And after a week, they were gone. It also prompted me to get a new eye exam and a different prescription. And I haven't had those issues, but I still keep that pair of Gunner glasses at my cube at work, so that if I start feeling that way, I know that I can throw them on and they'll be helpful. Well, they came out with a new series that they call Work and Play, which there are 5 different designs of, and I'm going to do a write-up on the website and hopefully get my hands on a pair soon so I can actually review them. But they are very much like transition lenses.
Okay.
And it still with their prescription that, you know, knocks out the harmful light coming from your screen so you don't get so much eye fatigue. But they transition into you can wear the same glasses while you're looking at the screen and then walk outside and have some great UV protection from the sun. And one of the styles that they have are a gold aviator style with this lens. So I definitely want to try Work and Play because I'm, you know, constantly looking for dope sunglasses that are not going to break. But I'm the person that I haven't bought transition lenses yet for my reading glasses because I really do only wear my reading glasses when I need to read. So I don't wear them any other time. And I hate being like that person, you know, the one that like has a set of like glasses that they wear all the time. And then there's the sunglasses. So they're constantly always wearing and switching glasses and carrying 2 cases. And it's always like a big deal when they swap their glasses from like indoor to outdoor and outdoor to indoor. And I'm just like, oh my God, like it's one of my pet peeves. So I don't want to be that person. So the idea of having like a set that has a simple, you know, not quite my prescription, but that I could wear while I was driving and then transition to reading. And oh, by the way, I can continue to wear when I'm driving because they are sunglasses too. Is really freaking appealing to me. So keep on the lookout. I'm going to put a post up on the website here. Probably by the time you hear this, it'll be a day off. So check out the website tomorrow when you're listening to this podcast, because it'll probably be up there where I show you some of the frame options that are there and talk a little bit about Work and Play from Gunner. But I'm really excited to actually see them, and if I can't get a unit in soon, I know that Gunner's going to be at PAX East, so you better believe I'm going to be at that booth.
I know you are.
I'm going to be at that booth. Okay.
Good.
So I'm going to shut up, because I know that you actually have a game that you've been playing that
yes.
you want to talk about.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
And so yes. I give to you yes. my player one role.
Not really, because you just totally went first for like 20 minutes.
No, so I didn't.
Yeah, you
real.
It was it like 8 count. Minutes.
It doesn't count.
I love that you're like, yeah, you're going to go first. Bleh. Okay,
it
now you
count.
Go first.
I can't help it. I get so excited. I said I was going to be excited about shit.
And you did. And
I try. I can't help it. I'm so excited.
Anyway, let me get to it. Let me get to it.
I'm gonna shut up and drink this coffee.
Yeah, take some sips. Recline a little bit.
I'm gonna get
Panda's.
Comfy.
Panda's got the mic. It's time for me to lose control.
Girl,
so we know, for those who are avid listeners to our show, that when I fall in love with a game, I get kind of obsessive. It's all I play. Final Fantasy X, Stardew Valley, like RPG related type games. And a few years ago, I got all about an RPG that was published by, or developed by, Level 5. So it looked a lot like a Studio Ghibli film. And I was quite perplexed, enthralled, obsessed with it. And I'm talking about Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch. So, there's a sequel.
Ni No Kuni!
That when I knew it was coming, I lost my shit. Like, literally lost all of it, went on a quest to find it, then found all my shit, and then someone stole all my shit again. The sequel that I'm talking about, Ni No Kuni 2, Reverent Kingdom, got released on March 23rd. So last week, if you're listening to this show on time, and way in the past, if you're listening to it later. However, I totally forgot that I even put the pre-order down for Ni No Kuni 2 and got surprised by my husbando, who was like, it's ready. And I said, what's ready? And he said, Ni No Kuni 2. And I said, let's go. So we go and we get it. And I mean, the first game had a lot going on in it. Like, it suffered from its identity crisis. It didn't know what it wanted to be. And I knew for a fact that Ni No Kuni 2 was going to be more, if not more, confusing or conflicting. Because, I mean, in the initial game, like I've talked about on several other shows, you play a really young boy who indirectly kills his mom, but doesn't kill his mom, but has to go on this quest in this other fantasy world to become a sage to fight this evil dark presence and potentially save your mom. And And you're bouncing between doing things in your world that are influencing what's happening in the fantasy world, because the worlds are parallel. So people that you find in the fantasy world actually exist in the real world, and things that happen to either of them affect the other one. So the fact that you've kind of killed your mom has put the great sage Alicia, which is your mom's, like, doppelganger counterpart in the other world, she's not dead yet, but she's in a really bad place, and you're trying to help her because she's combating the darkness, the dark djinn that is influencing or negatively influencing the people in the fantasy world. But long story short, there's this menace, the White Witch, who also is doing things that are manipulating people in the world, and you find out that she has also kind of split herself a little bit, and entities of her goodness are still throughout the world, and they are the ones guiding Ollie to become a sage and to combat Calliopeia, which I also think is the name of a star, and granted, I know I didn't pronounce that right, but that's just my staple, so deal with it.
You mean Cassiopeia?
Yeah, Calliope. That's right.
Calliopeia? How do you get Calliopeia out of Cassiopeia?
Cassiopeia Siopoli.
There's not an L anywhere in Cassiopeia.
I'm just adding L's, taking L's and adding them. So, and I mean, I started Ni No Kuni 1 a while ago, and I got halfway through, and I was like, I don't know if I can continue to do this. But then when the story really started to pick up, I was like, oh snap. And like, I was obsessed with it. I think I put over, I want to say, 200 hours into that game, and I didn't even perfect it. I was gonna, but I didn't. Because I was like, that's a lot of stuff. I have to get all my monsters up to 99, get all my characters up to 90, and like, I wasn't in my perfection zone.
The completionist chose not to do it?
Yeah.
What?
I got pretty close, but I was like, this last bit of this grind, I'm just not ready for it. But anyway, so I'm now playing Ni No Kuni 2. I'm only about 9 hours in, like I stated earlier. And here's what I have in my mind as the story, because I'm only 9 hours, and I literally believe the first six were basically tutorial for this game. So, like I said, this is developed by Level 5, so if you really love Studio Ghibli designed-looking areas, then you will love the aesthetic of this game, hands down, flat out. Like I said, it's published by Bandai Namco Entertainment, and like I said, this came out last week, depending on when you are listening to this show. But the player, you, I, me, and anyone else who's playing it, controls Evan Pettywhiskers Tildrum, who is a young king who I want to say is probably older than Ollie was in the original game. I want to say that Evan is maybe 10, like 10, 11, but like a really naive, precocious 10 or 11. They don't actually ever say it, but people like to make reference about how young he is. But anyway, so he is a young king in the fantasy world, and when you first start the game, you're actually looking at, it kind of looks like the Tobin Bridge in Boston, which at first I was like, what? Like, I was like, hometown advantage? What's up? And it then goes into a tunnel that turns into the cityscape that kind of reminds me of New York, but it isn't New York, but whatever. And there's this oldish man who, I mean, this is a game that looks like Studio Ghibli, so this looks like a young 50s with like a silver patch in his hair, and he's like in this limo, and he has like these democracy flags on his limo, and he's heading towards this town when a bomb shows up and like blows up the town. And, like, takes out the bridge that the car's on.
Why do bombs always just have to show up?
You know, like, just random bomb. But, like, this missile bomb just attacks the city and obliterates it. And obliterates most of the bridge that these limos are on. And it cuts to this old man that we just kind of saw, like, pinned underneath a car. And you kind of see him die, air quotes. But then as he's dying, he gets all blue and, like, pixely. And then, like, he, like, disappears. So I'm like, oh shit, he about to go to the world of dream pure, like dream magic. Dream magic's happening. And when he comes to, he is younger, has long dark hair, and like that cute long hair, like loose ponytail from like the hippie era. I mean, you don't know, Ninja, because you're not that old, but you know what I mean.
Oh, really?
Really? Anyway, but he wakes up. He wakes up in this fantasy town looking all young, and he's like, man. And he takes out his phone, and he's like, oh, crap, shoot. Of course, there's no internet here. And he sees, you know, a mirror and sees that he's young, and he's like, okay, that can't be right. And he's right in front of Evan, who's like, I'm the king, and I'm 10 years old, and you're trespassing. Stop where you are. And we now find out that the character that I've been watching, his name's Roland, and he's all like, yeah, kid, I'm just gonna walk past you, I need to go talk to some adults. And, like, he actually shows up in this castle right at the start of this coup. So, in the old game, you know, there were humans in Ni No Kuni 1, and there were also, like, doggy people, there were kitty people, I don't think there were lizard people, but there were, like, animal people, and regular people kind of living together, but not. But there was some animosity and tension. And Ding Dong Dell had a lot of cat people in it. And they expelled all the mice people. Well, now the mice people have been storing up their guns. And they came for blood. And they poisoned the king and killed the king. And his most trusted advisor, who's a weasel. Which, I mean, I wouldn't
have
had a weasel.
Don't be trusting no weasels. Don't be trusting no weasels.
You can't. And I was like, he a weasel with a bunch of cats? Like, something shady. Something's fishy.
Yup.
And, like, they've been poisoning the king, and he finally succumbed to the poison. And they're like, oh, well, now we gotta kill this 11-year-old king, because, you know, we want to take over Ding Dong Dell. And, you know, Evan's like, no, there's no way. He was, like, my dad's best friend. He loves us. And I'm like, nah. He was just playing the long game.
Mm-hmm.
He was Bolton Ramseying. He cozied up, waited till things got legitimate, and then Ice Joe Daddy.
Yo.
Spoilers. And Ice Japan. But Rolla's like, no, no one's here to protect you. We have to get you out. And he's like, but I have a governess and she protects me. We have to find her. And like, she was a secret bodyguard for Evan like the whole time. And she shows up and she's like, we got to kick ass and get you out of here. Long story short, she gets iced doing the right thing. And it always happens that way. But Roland ends up getting Evan out. And Evan's like, well, we gotta save Ding Dong Dell. Like, I have to go back because we're about to do this ritual that would have passed down the right of king to me. And Roland's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, as, you know, I am new here. I just came from, like, somewhere else entirely. By the way, Roland was president in the world that he was in before.
Oh, of course.
So he's like, I was kind of a ruler, so, like, I know what's happening. They're taking your shit. Like, he's very, like, legitimately practical. Coup? Yeah, exactly. He was like, cool. Evan, this is a coup? And it's not cool, and we gotta get you out of here. But anyway, Roland gets Evan to a safe place, and he's like, so what's this ritual that you use to become king? And he's like, so each ruler in Ni No Kuni land, realm, kings have this thing called a king's bond, where they fuse their bond with this magical aeon creature that protects the town. And you have to touch wands or, like, imbue their power into a trinket that you wear that becomes, like, the magical heirloom and whatever. And now that...
This sounds so complicated.
It is kind of. But anyway...
Wait, it's not kind of complicated. This is really complicated.
So the Weasel Ambassador has taken Evan's dad's sword that was his king's bond and presented it back to... The Kingmaker, which is the monster beast that packs with you. And he's like, hey, well, I mean, he didn't say it just like this. I'm paraphrasing. But the monster was like, I recognize you as the king since you iced the old one and you're holding the sword. That's legit. Boom, you're the king of Ding Dong Dell. So, you know, so Evan's like, well, now I don't have a Kingmaker and I don't have any right to a kingdom. But there are several other unbonded kingmakers in the realm. I just have to find one and get one to, like, join my cause. So Roland's like, do you know where there is one? And he's like, I heard there's rumors of this one behind the hill over here. So it'd be, like, very conveniently placed in this place. Yeah,
yeah. Like, if we go over this hill, I think we're going to be able to
We're going to find one. And Roland's like, all right, well, then let's go do that. And some hijinks ensue. You meet a pirate girl who's about your age that I think Evan wants to bone, but he doesn't know what boning is, so he's really conflicted about wanting to save her for no real reason than it's the right thing to do. Winky face.
Uh-huh.
Saves her, gets daddy's approval. Dad's kind of cool, but, like, you know, the girl Tani's just like, yeah, we're friends. Like, I'm going to help you sort this out. We're going to get you this kingmaker. You're going to be a king, and that's going to be great. You know, and I'm sure Evan in the background's like, you got to slide my DMs real quick. By the way, did I tell you that there's a Facebook in this game?
What?
Yeah. It's called Leafbook. And literally, it's essentially just Instagram.
Leafbook.
It's called Leafbook. And you can post pictures, and people can comment anonymously. Because none of them have, like, screen names or anything like that, or handles. It's all anonymous commenter on these pictures that you can then like. So literally, as soon as they opened up the whole Leafbook application thing, I was like, what purpose does this serve? Because it makes no sense to me. But one of them was, like, a picture of the Weasel Ambassador guy who's like, yeah, just took over Ding Dong Dell. I'm the king now. And I'm like, I'm not liking that status. Because you killed my dad. Like, not like, I don't understand why the game thought that was prevalent for Evan to see, that this weasel straight up boasted about icing his daddy and taking over Ding Dong Dell. Like, I don't get it. But, okay, it's relevant, I guess. So after we go through all the painstaking trials to get our kingmaker, like, I'm expecting it to be, like, this golden dragon, or, like, this griffin, or, like, some cool fish dragon. I've watched way too much anime to assume that all mythical creatures are dragons, but I get this little nubbin, his name is Lottie, he is yellow, what? and he looks like a 5-year-old tried to draw Lisa Simpson. And it's weird. Okay. And he's like, I'm your kingmaker. We're going to form this king's bond. And, like, Evan was like, I thought you'd be bigger. And he's like, hey, I'm magical as fuck. bond with me. And of course, Evan's like, well, I'm 11. I don't know any better. Sure.
I mean,
and
that's the best pickup line ever. Fuck, bond with me.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, that's, I'm paraphrasing once again, but that's kind of what happened. He's like, I'm a powerful kingmaker. I'm going to make you a king. Like, he kind of, I don't believe him.
And then Evan's just like, oh, I just can't wait to be king.
Exactly. And like, he's like, well, what is your like heirloom that you're going to imbue my magic into? And Evan found this really cool stick.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, like a really cool stick. And he's like, how about this stick? And Lonnie's like, are you kidding me? I mean, okay, fine, whatever. But like, this is the wand that will rule all wands.
This is my stick. It's really cool. Imbue it.
Yeah.
With your magic.
And he does. And he doesn't use this wand. Like, he doesn't use, like, I'm using a totally different wand. Like, I'm not even using it. But I'm like, okay. And we fuse, and now I have this little Lisa Simpson wannabe kingmaker who just yells at me all the time and is like, you need to fucking do this thing. Why didn't you do that thing? I'm going to make you a fucking king. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're lying to me. To me, the player, I know something's up. Because all the other kingmakers that we have encountered have been big, menacing, and all fly. And this thing don't do none of those things. And I know the tilt's going to be, oh, by the way, I'm not actually a kingmaker. I was just trapped in that statue. Thanks for releasing me. I'll still try to help you, but like, I don't have the right to make you king. And that's what, we got a Mushu situation. That's what we got. We got a Mushu from Milan situation. Where he's, like, a demoted kingmaker, and he's not fully a kingmaker yet. And, like, he's gonna use Evan to, like, make himself a kingmaker. That's what I think. I don't know. But, literally, everything that's happened so far in this game has led to me, the king, King Evan, Petty Whiskers of Tildrum, to build... Bill, no, and that's his name. I couldn't change his name. I couldn't name my own kingdom. Like, that stuff's all prerequisite. It's built in. It's fine. Because, like, I was ready to make Hood Tankia or Hood Stinkatopia. Like, I was ready. But, literally what I am doing now is I am building my own kingdom. And I want to rule. Evan's goal is to rule all of Nino Kuni-dom. Like, he wants to be the one true king and rule all the kingdoms, which I think is a little weird. Two, he also wants to make a kingdom where all people can live together in harmony. Because, you know, like I said, the cat people had their cat realm, the dog people had their dog realm, the tree people had their tree realm. But he wants a kingdom where everyone can live together in perfect harmony. And I'm like, you tripping, but okay, I'm on this quest. Roland doesn't seem to want to go back to his reality at all, so he's like, I'm just gonna stay here and be your advisor, because I'm young, hot, and like, I mean, I was a president, so like, I know how to run government and shit, so like, I'm versatile to you. Girl is there because they're gonna have to start making babies eventually, so like, gotta have a girl there. We just recruited a nanny who, oh, get this shit.
Oh Lord.
So remember that in the first game I talked about how there was a weird monster Pokemoning system where, like, you captured monsters, you fed them cakes, and, like, they beefed up, and, like, you'd use them to fight as you're, like, familiar in the first game. We don't seem to have that in this game. Now we have Higgledies.
I'm sorry, what?
Higgledies.
The Friggledy-Higgledy, yeah. Are you talking about?
Yeah, Higgledies are the magical monster creatures now. They kind of look like, if you saw Princess Mononoke, you know the spirit rattles in the forest that were kind of creepy, yes, but also kind of cute? Yes. They kind of look like those, but they're different colors and they are imbued with elements. So some of them are red for fire, and some of them are blue for water, and some of them are purple for darkness, and some of them are light for other stuff. I don't know. And then there's, like, the weird peach-colored ones that kind of look like little naked white people that don't really do anything. I'm not going to go into those yet, because I bet I could turn them into something else. I don't know. But they cast spells, and they come on the journey with me, and I literally have a little army of these things. They're also kind of like Pikmin, if you've ever played Pikmin. Like,
yes,
they work
I love
in groups
Pikmin.
And they work like in a Pikmin group or whatever, and they'll help you during battle. I haven't learned how to power them up yet because I think all the ones I currently have are all still level 1 because there's something I have to do to them to make them level up, and it's not just make them fight. So I think I have to love them. I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. I'm only 9 hours in.
I think I have to love them, but I don't know. I don't know.
Like, I haven't been told I have to feed them or look at them. So I'm not exactly sure how it is I am to unlock their potential, because there's clearly potential in them. I don't know yet. We just encountered our first kingmaker in the game that has lost his bond with his king. And this sounds like, oh, that just means another king can, like, pick him up. Well, no, not exactly. What happens with the kingmakers when they no longer got the bond with their king is they become realm wreckers. Because, you know, alliteration is really crucial in Ni No Kuni land.
Right. It's what makes the turn base turn basier.
Yeah. And they get really, really mad and become realm wreckers. And they just want to destroy the town or kingdom that they have been protecting. So we just had somebody get their bond severed, and we had to fight this fucking griffin, this fire griffin demon thing, at, like, level 14, which I'm like, he's a level 27, what the fuck? Like, the leveling system does not seem to equivocate enough. And I mean, granted, I have my little army of Pikmin and girl and Roland rolling with me, but still, I ain't that confident, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still a level, you know, 14, I just hit puberty, like, I'm looking at Tawny, like, what up, holla at me, and she's like, nah, but, you know, whatever, I'll deal with that, I guess. We haven't dealt with cross worlds yet, which is kind of the thing that I liked about Ni No Kuni 1, is that you could see them developing the parallels between the worlds, and we've only heard about the world that Roland has come from, but we have not traveled back to it yet, and I don't know if we're going to. And I mean, but with a name like Reverent Kingdom, like, I know my main goal is to build a swank-ass kingdom where everyone, like, I'm building Disney World in a mythical realm. That is my goal. I'm gonna do it.
It's Look, I can't, awesome. I have to be honest. Like, every time you've said about all this stuff going on in Ding Dong Dell, it's been really hard for me not to just bust out laughing.
Well, it's funny because you start in Ding Dong Dell, and when you're trying to hide, you have to go into the Ding Dong Well, and I'm like, like, it is very family friendly. It is so
the Ding Dong Well.
Yeah, right now with my quest line.
If you
line,
die, do you go to Ding Dong Hell?
Well, that'd be Ding Dong Swell. Anyway. Like, right now, the quest I'm currently working on, which I think is the most ridiculous thing, is my kingdom doesn't have a library, and I have to go to Goldpaw, where all the doggies are at, because they got the bombest-ass library, because you know dogs read, and I have to go to their library to learn about the history.
They also play poker. And
yeah. Oh, it's a gambling. Goldpaw is where all the gambling happens, and there's also a bomb-ass library. But anyway, but I gotta go there because I don't have a library and I need to learn history so that I can make a bomb-ass happy kingdom. I mean, this is Evan's logic, not mine. Mm-hmm. And I go there to the library and there's like this freaking Yababa-looking motherfucker librarian who's like, you can't touch my bookie wookies till you get me these three things. And I'm like, bitch, try to catch me. I'm small and I'm fast. I could so, like, run behind you and just grab some books, but I'm doing this the dignified way because I am a king. That's my kingmaker. Don't look him directly in the face. He might be feral, but I'm doing this quest for this librarian, and I'm like, don't call them bookie wookies. Like, what? like I get that this is... It's whimsical, it's light, it's funny, and I mean, the first one set you up to feel like all these levels of security, and then, oh, by the way, you killed your mom. Like, Ollie, at the end of this, you'll save this whole kingdom,
but your mom's gonna be dead.
When you go back to your reality, your mom is dead.
And you are, did it.
And you did it. You facilitated her ending. Granted, I think
it wasn't Ding Dong Swell.
It was not. Granted, Ding Dong Dell in the first game was like a village. It wasn't even a fucking kingdom, but whatever. So it's grown over the years, which is great. But like, there's a lot of whimsical, light humor in there. And I do love it, but like, I do have to laugh. And like, I am sitting there playing it next to my husband, who was just like, so, you're a king now. You could have your armies go out and do all this. Oh, no, you're going to go? Oh, you picked up that stick? Oh, that's going to be your scepter? Okay. And I'm like, I understand why this doesn't make sense to you. Because it doesn't make sense to me either, hubby. But I'm in it for the long haul. I'm going to see that my father gets avenged and Ding Dong Dell is free from oppression. And I'm going to rule all of them. I'm going to be the best ruler. More than 12 inches. It would be like 24 inches of pure majesty. And it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be like... yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ring the Ding Dong Bell. And it's going to be epic.
Right. I'm going to put people in Ding Dong cells.
Yep. When they do bad. Yep. Because mm-hmm. they got to learn the rules.
And they're going to have to, you know, Ding Dong tell me what I want to know in order to get out.
But anyway, like, it's cute and it's whimsical and it is highly immersive because, like I said, the minute I started, I haven't really stopped. And even my husband's like, so now you're not going to finish Monster Hunter. I'm like, no, I will. Because early in the mornings when I'm waiting for your ass to wake up, I'll play Monster Hunter. And when I come home, after I cook dinner, I will play Ni No Kuni. So there's a morning game and an evening game. And I might be switching them. It probably should be the other way around. But, you know, I'm still figuring that pattern out. But I'm looking forward to the story finally kicking up. Because literally, once you learn how to build your kingdom, that's where I feel like the tutorials are done. Because they've now given me every bit of information I now kind of need. So now I just got to do it. So yeah, the tutorial is about 6 hours. So, I mean, if you got nothing else to do, then head on up to...
This is why I can't fuck with turn-based RPGs.
This isn't turn-based, though.
This is six hours.
This isn't turn-based. This is kind of open-worldy based. But yeah. But if you want to help resolve the coup in Ding Dong Dell, then you need to get in Ni No Kuni 2.
Swell.
You got to hit up, you got to live in Ni No Kuni 2, Revenant Kingdom. I'm still intrigued. So I will keep you guys posted on all of my higgledy business. Higgledies. Oh. And they say higgledy piggledy too, by the way.
I know it's a higgledy piggledy.
Higgledy piggledy!
I can't.
It's some bullshit, but it's some cute ass bullshit. And I'm about it.
Every time I've seen the game, like, it looked gorgeous when.
It's absolutely stunning! I just wish people wouldn't talk so stupid. It's like, don't touch my bookie wookies! Don't say bookie wookies at me. Let's talk like civilized adults. It's a book. It's a reference material.
I'm gonna want to tickle it?
Right, exactly. Like, But anyway. So yeah, once I've gotten more in the game and when I start actually getting to the meaty parts of the story, I'll
And you've gotten enough bookie wookies from the dope library?
I mean... I'm hoping what will happen is I will take these books and then I will use these books to make my own library in my own bomb-ass kingdom so then I don't have to call them Bookie Wookies no more. that's my perfect kingdom where I don't have to talk like I'm treating preschool to people. But it is cute. It is beautiful. Like, it is stunning to look at. So yeah. I'll keep you guys updated on what's happening in Ding Dong Dell.
I'm trying to find a word for that, but all I am coming up with at this time is that we have to bid this ding-dong farewell.
That's the best you got? That's all right.
That's the best I got.
It's all right.
It's why I'm not a rapper, because off the dome, I'm not that good with the rhyme.
I'm not a rapper.
No, I play one on TV sometimes, though.
But okay.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's
an experience.
It is. It sounds super cute. And, you know, sometimes you need super cute.
Like, you like your saccharine anime. I like my saccharine 120-hour role-playing games.
Right. Like, you know, you gotta have your palate cleansers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds like a good palate cleanser. you know, like, for me, when it comes to games, like, when I get to the point where, like, I've gone, like, way too dark for a while in just a whole lot of blow-em-up violence, really, and not thinking things, you know, I tend to go back to, funny enough for me, either puzzle games, or I just go back to games that are kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that about themselves. So, like, I'll go back to a Saints Row as an example, as a palate cleaner. Or I'll go to kind of my other happy place, which it's not really light, but for me, it just ends up being something I can kind of turn my brain off, is I'll go back to an Assassin's Creed game that I've already finished the main campaign and just do the side quest shit that I didn't do before. Or I used to go back to Crackdown when I could play it, but I don't have the Xbox 360 anymore. So that's the Crackdown 2 is not an option. But those things where, you know, you can kind of turn your brain off and just kind of get lost in the action or the scenery or things like that versus, you know, a BioShock or something like that where you're, like, damn sure paying attention to everything. Like, I will go back to those as, like, a palate cleanser. Just like I go to the saccharine stuff, like you said, in anime, when I've watched too many things that are, like, another. Or, you know, Dusk Maiden Amnesia. You know, you gotta...
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta go to a happy place after that.
Yes, yeah, you do.
So, I understand. I understand. Completely. I don't think that Ni No Kuni would be it for me. Because it's just so silly. Like, I would not have been able to get past Ding Dong Dell.
Well, I mean, it's the first place you're in, so you don't have much of a choice.
Right. I would not have been able to, like, get past that. So, kudos to you. I guess, you know, as we're coming up here on the time to wrap things up, I'm just going to touch kind of quickly on, and I know I said I was going to talk about GDC, but I really do want to talk about a game before we come out. So you already know my love for GDC, and just super, super quickly, there were more events that Games for Everyone threw at GDC this year, which I love G4E. It is a Microsoft initiative that is really focused on making platforms and gaming a comfortable and safe place for everybody, and a space where everyone is recognized and is visible. So they do a lot with LGBTQ communities, with various communities of color, so Muslim groups and you know, different religions, which I really appreciate. And it was just really cool to, one, see that they had a larger presence this year than they did last year, that there were more sessions that were focused more on inclusivity, which was really refreshing for me to see happening, because it's been a long time coming for our community, especially to put some focus and some effort into diversity and inclusion. And Women in Gaming did a bunch of stuff this year, not only party-wise, but just, you know, session-wise, and it's just heartwarming for me. So I'm stoked, and that's another reason why I want to go to GC, because I really want to be doing more stuff with women in gaming and blacks in gaming. But anyway, speaking of gaming and being a woman who happens to be black and also in gaming. See what I did there?
Yeah, yes. I was going to let you run with that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I am desperately, desperately excited about Far Cry 5. And I really didn't think that I was going to be, you know, from when it was kind of first announced in that first trailer. I was like, oh, yo, here we go. It's America, the game. And at the time, you know, I wasn't feeling really great about where the country was. And
Now?
I'm feeling better. You know, when I look at, you know, all of these people who were marching for the March on Our Lives last weekend, you know, and seeing so many people across the country start to at least come together and take action as opposed to simply tweeting disapproval about things and not actually doing anything to make any change happen. I feel better, not about the leadership, but about the people.
Okay.
I feel like there are more people who are like, I actually need to do something and are stepping forward to doing that. And when it first starts with raising a voice and marching, it turns into actually showing up at the voting booth. And that's what really makes change happen. And, you know, I've seen across the country like that happen. So I have more faith in humanity than I did at the time when the trailer first came out. When the trailer for the game first came out, I was like, yeah, this is pretty much America the Game. And yeah, fuck us. Fuck us. So I wasn't really excited about playing the game because I was in a very dark place. And I felt like it very much would be a reminder of the dark place that I am in. And I typically use games to escape from the dark place that I'm in called reality. You know, it's where I run away to be in a fantasy world and for a little bit be a hero. Or, you know, maybe not necessarily a hero, but somebody with some power or some ability to do things, whether they're good or bad. That's what I do with games, and I enjoy when I go on a journey with them. So, if you're not familiar, the premise of Far Cry 5 is that the game is set in a town in Montana called Hope County, which isn't real. It is fictitious. Okay, the game is fictitious. It is a work of fiction. Okay, even though it kind of hits home a little bit.
I know. Okay, people get kind of mad about how.
Yes.
Right.
People always get mad. It's the
internet. And by people, we mean white people.
I love how you're so very, very lightly trying to be like. And by people, I meant
white people. You know, no, when you're
not.
You
say it. Okay. You could have your blavity moment.
I was gonna say uneducated people.
You did not say that.
You know, those people who don't even have, you know, degrees and stuff, who don't know no better.
Look, it's not about having a degree to know no better. Sometimes it's just common sense to know no better, okay? But anyway, it is a work of fiction, people, because it is a game. It's not based on a real town. Okay, there is no Hope County, Montana, but the game is set there. And basically, this preacher named Joseph Seed.
With a name like Seed. Anyway.
Okay. Has basically risen to power. And he believes and preaches that he has been chosen to protect the people of Hope County. And his protection, okay, it does come at a cost, okay, which is a complete and unquestioning obedience to him.
Uh-huh.
And his congregation, which is called Eden's Gate. And if you do those things, then you'll be safe, and you'll reach salvation. But the thing is that the little problem is that Eden's Gate is basically a doomsday cult, and they're pretty much using violence on the people. To basically terrorize them into submission. And if they don't submit, then they die. Seed says that it's a righteous death because he's basically infallible like God. And hijinks ensue.
Ah.
So, basically, you in the game are working as part of a resistance, basically, to Seed and Eden's Gate, and basically need to take him out.
Okay.
You're a sheriff's deputy, and you got a clean house. And where a lot of people started to object about the game with the trailer is it very much felt like, I think what a lot of people imagine if the extremist right
that we kind of see in America right now was able to really organize, mobilize, and take over. What that might kind of look
maybe,
like.
Maybe that, take that plus, like, red state.
Well, yeah, I mean, it basically is red state. The game is basically red state.
Red state,
if you saw
game.
That movie. Yeah, that's basically what it is. And if you haven't seen that movie, I'll be honest with you, it's probably one of my favorite Kevin Smith movies. That is not what people think of when they think of a Kevin Smith movie. But it really is fantastic. And Far Cry 5 seems to kind of be Red State the game. And when I got to that kind of recognition about what the game was going to be and watched some of the subsequent trailers and just, if you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend Gamertag Radio series Stories from Hope County that they worked directly with the Ubisoft team on to create. It's really some fantastic kind of prologue to jumping into the game that you should really check out. But the reason I bring it up is because by the time you guys hear this episode, the game will be out the following day. The game comes out on the 27th. And I'm super fucking so stoked to get into this game. I really wish I had been kind of focused on the game a little bit earlier to request a review unit early from Ubi for the game. I didn't, but that's the way it is. I did order the game, and so when I get back from my trip to the West Coast, the only thing that I'm going to be playing when I return between that time, Easter, basically, and PAX East is going to be this game. I can't wait to get my hands on it. It looks absolutely gorgeous. It's one of the things where, like, I wish that I was in a better situation at this point with everything that happened with the house and whatnot, because if those things hadn't happened, I probably would be getting my 4K TV right now specifically to finish running through Assassin's Origin on a 4K TV and play this game on a 4K TV, because the environments are absolutely gorgeous, and I feel like it's going to be a hell of a ride of a story going through the game. So I'm looking forward to it. If you like shooters with a little bit of cover strategy in them, but not like forced cover strategy, then Far Cry 5 is definitely a game that you should look to check out. I know I am going to be all over it like stink on the poops.
Okay.
So just, you know, wrapping that up pretty quickly. I will have more, obviously, once I actually get in the game when I get back after Easter. So that's what we got for you guys this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Like I said, we will not be doing an episode for Easter because we're taking Easter off, but we will be back with our roundtable from PAX East the following week. We're going to have a lot of content coming from the show. So please make sure that you subscribe to our podcast, which you can get on our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can also get the podcast through iTunes on your desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast Electric Sisterhood and subscribing. Please subscribe. Make sure that you share us with your friends. If you feel like leaving a review on iTunes, we definitely appreciate that for sure. But if you're not living the iOS life or the Apple life, that's cool. There are other ways that you can get a hold of our podcast. You can find us on Stitcher Radio. You can find us on VogNetwork.com. You can find the Eshcast pretty much in every podcast aggregator that exists on the planet. We're working on getting into Spotify, and we hope to have news on that soon. So please, please, please make sure that you subscribe, that you share us with your friends, and help us to no longer be the best-kept secret on the internet. Like I said, you can check out all of the stuff that we're thinking about, writing about, reviews, previews, editorials, and more on our website, electricsisterhood.com. There'll be a bunch of stuff coming from PAX East, as well as other shows that we'll be attending throughout the year, including Anime Boston. So please, please, please make sure that you visit our site, that you bookmark it, check it regularly, share it with your friends, share our stuff on your social, engage with us on our social, because we like to be social. So you can get us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. We're also on Instagram, putting out all kinds of stuff all the damn time, including photos from the events we go to. So definitely make sure that you're following us so you can keep up with all the stuff that we're going to be looking at and, like, touching and things at
PAX East and stuffs, because that'll be cool, on our Instagram, at ESH News. We're also on Twitter, at ESH News. If there's anything you'd like to check, have us check out, either at the show or just in general, games that you'd love for us to review or preview or anything, then please hit us up on our social and let us know. And when we check it out, we'll give you a shout-out for making the suggestion. So you get some fame, we get some fame, everybody gonna be famous for like a few seconds on the internet, which is kind of cool. It's kind of dope. But if you enjoy what we do here on Electric Sisterhood, then please make sure that you check out some of the other great, great sites and content that our entire network of creators come up with. And that includes our homeboy, KBD, over at B3Crew.com, host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. If it's indie, whether it's music, movies, games, entertainment, KBD is talking about it over at B3Crew.com. So please make sure that you bookmark his site. Check out his podcast in iTunes as well. And he's got some great, great anime previews and reviews that you should definitely check out to keep in the know on what you should check out and what you shouldn't. On Wednesdays, our homie Hamsterman2049 streams live from Twitch, sometimes from YouTube as well. Retro games and new games going down at 9 Eastern, typically. Sometimes he does them a little early, so you better make sure that you check out our Facebook page to get the link and keep in the update so that you know the lowdown on when it go down on his stream on Twitch or YouTube. Definitely want to check it out. Be part of chat. He loves that stuff and plays some really fun games. I love watching him play Outlast because his reaction is pretty much my reaction. On Thursday, one of my favorite humans on the planet with one of my favorite recap shows of all time, Phil the Issues Guy with Phil's Recap and Review. You can subscribe on YouTube, check out his archive on his website, and I highly, highly suggest that you chime in because he's creating some fantastic shows. And like I've said before, and I'll say it again, his recaps on Westworld are some of the most enjoyable Westworld things I've ever seen outside of the show. So make sure that you check out Phil's Recap and Review and hit up his site, theissuesguy.com, issuesprogram.com, whichever one you want to go to will get you to the same place to check out the same great content. And then last but certainly not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave, whether it's comic books, movies, anime, manga, video games. If nerds are talking about it anywhere in the world, the dudes at nerdcrave.com are talking about it as well. So make sure that you check out all of our sites, bookmark them all, share us with your friends on social, share our content around, let us know if there's something you want us to check out, because we do this for you as much as we do it for us. With that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, folks.
Titties.